The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
And this is Anton Savage on The Hard Shoulder in for Kieran. Explosions outside Kabul's airport amid a huge evacuation effort from Afghanistan have killed at least 13 people, including children, and wounded many Taliban guards as well as American service people. Now, that's according to what a Taliban official has told Reuters. The US military has confirmed aspects of that, but not the totality. For more on this, we're joined by Paul Rogers, who is Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. First of all, Paul, piecing together what reports we have so far, it does appear that there have been children involved in this.
It does seem so, yes. I mean, with 13 people being killed in two explosions, one by the gate and the other near the Baron Hotel, which has been used as sort of a transit point for the British evacuation, that suggests that many, many more people, maybe scores of people, have been injured. There are reports of Taliban guards being injured, of children, and of American service people and others. So these were two very big explosions. The word is that they were suicide attacks, which are very, very difficult to prevent, particularly in the extraordinary, terrible situation you've had around the airport. And it is almost certainly the work of the group known as ISIS, Khorramshahr Shah, an offshoot of the original ISIS.
Which is evidence of the worst of what had been feared would occur when the Americans and others pulled out.
Yes, the Americans were worried about the possibility of an attack within the airport perimeter. But it looks like ISIS have chosen to do this way, and one assumes that it is them. And their point is that they're basically opposed to the Taliban. They regard them as apostate because they will deal with the likes of the British and the Americans. And of course, they see the foreign forces, the American forces, as the real enemy. And you have this rare position of substantial American forces more or less near the center of Kabul, but not in any place which has the kind of protection they would otherwise have had in their bases or in the embassies. And this gave the opportunity for the ISIS group to stage these attacks. There may possibly be more, I'm sorry to say, but of course the whole process of evacuating people is already starting to roll down. There are many thousands of people wanting to leave Afghanistan who are already within the airport perimeter are being processed and will probably be flown out in the next 48 hours. And then, of course, there are the best part of 10,000 troops, civilians of the United States and other countries still in the airport doing the work. And they will also be getting out. So the process is, in a sense, nearing its end. And this is probably one of the last opportunities, I hate to use the term opportunities, for a group like ISIS to stage this kind of attack with any kind of effect.
Well, of that, what is the effect? Because if the withdrawal is inexorable, as it is at this point, what is to be gained by sniping, to use a better word, while it occurs?
I think it is primarily to remind the world that they are still there. A warning to the Taliban, some of those people having been killed with Taliban, that ISIS is here to stay and is embedding itself within Afghanistan. It's pretty well certain that the great majority of people associated with the Taliban do not want this group active in Afghanistan. They have other plans ahead. They will accept, in some circumstances, the Al-Qaeda associates who are also operating in the country, but not ISIS. And I think ISIS is basically doing this to show people they exist at a time of maximum publicity worldwide. I would suspect it's as crude as that.
In a couple of moments, we're going to be going to retired four-star General Jack Keane on the American reaction to the way the withdrawal is going. The British reaction, though, Paul, because obviously there's still a significant number of British troops there. What do you think the impact of this will be at home?
Of this bomb? Well, I think this will basically confirm what the British government has been saying for the last 24 hours. It wasn't taken too seriously when it was Biden and people were thinking, well, this is maybe just a sort of a way of sort of moving off the main problem. But now I think it became clear that this was likely to happen. So I don't think it will be a huge surprise, but there will obviously be dismay because it's a further indication of the massive difficulties that we have in Afghanistan and the way that Britain still has this real difficulty in facing up to the fact that it lost a significant war. It's been 20 years and it has come to nothing. But that is very difficult for British culture to take, I'm afraid. And it's going to take some time for that to sink in fully.
Is the expectation now civil war in Afghanistan?
Not necessarily, no. There's relatively small opposition. There's no indication that major Western countries want to actually foment civil war. There are groups opposed to the Taliban. Then you have ISIS as well. The groups I'm talking about are sort of more the Afghan nationals. But it is relatively small scale. I do not see a major Western effort to undermine the Taliban at the present time. After all, they do have major countries in the region that are interested in doing business with them. Russia, for a start, Pakistan, obviously, preeminently China itself. So I think to that extent, it is almost certain that the Taliban are here to stay for some years in Afghanistan, even if they change their nature in due course, but one can't be sure of that.
Is there much or anything that can be done during the final few moments of the withdrawal process to prevent these kind of bombings or these kind of attacks occurring? Or have they already allowed so much control to be ceded to the Taliban that it's a lost cause?
I think it's a lost cause. I mean, the British and the Americans and a few other foreign troops are not going to be risked outside of the airport perimeter, except by helicopter, I would expect. They may not even be using armoured cars, you know, not armoured cars in the military sense, but cars that are armoured to do that. So I think they will basically be operating within the airport and will avoid any losses for themselves. That does not avoid losses for Afghans.
And again, from a military perspective, should this have been done differently or done better?
It certainly should have been done better. There's a very big question about whether the West should have withdrawn. The way it has withdrawn has turned out to be disastrous, partly because of the extraordinary speed of the Taliban advance, which even caught the Taliban by surprise. But no, the whole thing has been an appalling mess. There's been huge suffering and great worry on the side of so many Afghans. And that is not ending yet. I mean, there's huge worries among Afghans in Britain as to what will happen to their families and the friends who are still in Afghanistan. So it's far from ending in that sense.
What was the expectation, though, of what would act as resistance to the Afghan advance? Was there a supposition that there would be the Afghan army would defend?
There was a supposition that the Afghan army would be a difficult grouped to, and not that the country would completely go over to the Taliban, but maybe Kabul might hold out even right through the winter, and there might be some negotiated settlement in which the Taliban would be part of the overall governance of the country. That, I think, was what was hoped by many people. But in fact, once the Taliban were taking cities without opposition, it became clear that the Afghan National Army had just lost its morale. It had lost so many people, and there's been so much corruption within the country that people were not prepared to give their lives when they could at least get away with their lives intact. And as soon as that was realized across the country, the dominoes fell and the Taliban moved in the space of, 72 hours.
Surely, Paul, as well, it is not just a matter of the individual Afghan soldiers giving their lives. It might also be the lives of their family, given the Taliban penchant for retribution.
That was certainly, if you go to the Taliban 25 years ago, that would have been the case. We simply don't know how strong that is now. And there are mixed messages coming out. But yes, certainly not just themselves, but their families as well. I'm sure you're right.
Paul, thank you very much for joining us in the Hard Shoulder this evening. That is Paul Rogers, who is Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. And I mentioned we'd be looking across to get the American analysis of how things are going. And we're getting that from General Jack Keane, who is a retired four-star general and chairman of the Institute for the Study of War. And he joins us now. General, can I ask, as you look at the situation in Kabul and across Afghanistan, there must be serious concern for the American operation there.
Well, I've had serious concerns about how the operation is going because there's been so many constraints put on the military by the President of the United States. I know the military wanted to go out and extend the perimeter, which also would have helped in the prevention of suicide bombers getting close to the gate. And that was denied. They wanted to go out and provide safe passage for people who were outside the airport gate, and the Taliban had established these checkpoints that were disrupting the process of people who were documented to get to the gate. And we wanted to go out there and provide safe passage to do that. That was denied them as well. Now, there's been a couple of occasions helicopters have gone out and picked up some people, but those occasions are infrequent. It's not the norm. And also, we have had no plans what to do about the people who cannot get to the city of Kabul because the Taliban are controlling all the road arteries, and therefore there's American citizens, I'm assuming citizens from other NATO countries as well, and our Afghan partners who are stranded literally in the other cities inside of Afghanistan, and there's no plan whatsoever, to go after them, and I think that's regrettable. We should have declared very early on when we were bringing our troops in there and told the Taliban that we're going to stay for as long as it takes, to get our people out, the American citizens, our coalition partner citizens, and also our Afghan partners who serve with us.
And what is it, General King?
Help us with that. And if you don't help us with it, we're going to do it anyway.
As we go forward, General King, what increases the threat level? Is it the looming deadline and the fact that the Taliban know when this is due to draw to a conclusion? Or is it the diminution in troop levels and deployment as more and more leave?
No, that has not much to do with the troops' presence. I mean, this is all about humiliating us. We've already surrendered to a terrorist organization. What do we expect in return from these people? And we've already given in and not stood our ground here to protect our own people and get them out of there properly. I mean, we know how to do this, and the military operating in Afghanistan has got their hands tied. It's pretty regrettable. We don't know who this attack came from. It could have been ISIS, who is also an opponent of the Taliban, and they want to humiliate us. It could have been organized by the Taliban themselves to humiliate us and hasten our commitment to leave. I don't think what organization it is matters that much. This is what Afghanistan is about. This is what we fear, is that it becomes an epicenter for international terrorism again, where they can organize themselves to attack the United States and our European allies. I mean, the number one lesson we learned from the United States 9/11 Commission that was formed is that what led up to the attack of 9/11 was that the United States tolerated a safe haven in Afghanistan for the al-Qaeda to operate out of, despite the fact they blew up two of our embassies and attacked two of our ships. We let that safe haven stay there under President Clinton and should have been taken down. And now we're going to let another safe haven grow up right in the same country again in Afghanistan with the Taliban hosting international terrorists once again. It's absolutely extraordinary.
Well, can I ask you, General,
a dangerous situation.
You describe the humiliation that's now being suffered at the hands of the Taliban during the retreat. If the president had come to you and if you were still serving either as commander of the 101st or as a four-star general and said, how do we do this properly? What does properly look like?
You mean after he set the deadline of 31 August or even before that?
Before that.
Well, first of all, you establish conditions. Condition one is we're going to withdraw, but we want to prevent the Taliban from taking over. So that's condition one. And that means we don't withdraw in the height of the fighting season. We withdraw when the fighting season is over, during the winter time. And during the fighting season, we provide full-up air support and robust intelligence capability. Condition two has got to be we have to continue to provide intelligence and air support from outside of Afghanistan, but close enough so that it's going to be effective. And that was going to take some time to get that. The Russians had turned us down for the stands countries, Turkestan, Uzbekistan, etc., helping us. But that didn't mean we couldn't have persuaded them if we had more time. But studying those conditions is very important to prevent a Taliban takeover of the country. That should have been the primary condition. The second thing is the haste in the exit of the American citizens that are in the country and a special immigrant visa program for our Afghan partners, and really put that on full throttle and make that a condition as well before we pull out. We're not going to then take the people out of the country after we pull our troops out. Does that make any sense to anybody? It doesn't. So that should have been a condition. But we did an unconditional withdrawal, Anton, and that is what got us into this ill-conceived, hasty withdrawal that you're looking at now. And even doing this, we had an opportunity to end this on a high note. And that is, take the advice of our allies who are telling us, our European allies who are telling us, don't set a date certain, stay there until we complete the evacuation and get that done. End on a high note that we got all of our people out. Did we accept risk in doing that? Could some of our troops actually get into a firefight with the Taliban over some of that? Yes, that's possible. But at the end of the day, the Taliban wants us out of there, Anton, and as soon as we can get out of there. And we tell them we're not going to leave until we finish the job. And you can help us finish the job.